one, Jacoby Ellsbury. And actually, this was, I had a lot better view of this one. I was standing right. I mean, Leonis faked, and you could tell the kid didn't see him. So the second time he went, I mean, he got a great jump.
Terry Francona right there talking about Leonis Martin as he steals home. And now it's time to talk some Indians with our beat reporter, James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. James, thanks for taking a couple minutes, man.
Yeah, what's up, Jonathan?
Well, my big question to you right now is, could Leonis Martin beat Benny the Jet Rodriguez? Who stole home better?
Oh, come on. No one beats Benny the Jet. It's not even close. Come on.
Okay.
Don't do that. Of course it's Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Sorry, Leonis.
I mean,
look at Leonis Martin stealing his way back into the hearts of Tribe Fit.
Oh, did you worked on that one. Was that already in the title?
That's what he's doing, you know? Yeah. He's trying to steal back his rightful place on the Indians roster, so no one is questioning whether or not he should be with the big leagues here.
I'm very happy for you and the 12 likes you probably got on that tweet where you mentioned that he's stealing
right.
The likes. You know, it's funny to me.
I think it was 11, but I appreciate you giving me extra credit.
James, it's so fun. James Rapine joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. All right, James, Indians are playing better. We're going to get to some of the minutiae, some of the ins and outs of the team, but first we got to go a little more surface level and take a bigger, broader approach because over this past week they have kind of been put under the microscope within a couple different ports, whether it's John Paul Morosi, whether it's Ken Rosenthal. A lot of people insinuating there's moves to be made. I don't know that the Indians necessarily feel that way. We're still 6 weeks away from figuring this out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this stretch here, and we've seen them win back-to-back games against the Tigers, and I know it's the Tigers, but this stretch here of 21 games, now 19, before the All-Star break is going to really determine what they do at the trade deadline, because they have only one team above 500 in the Texas Rangers on their schedule during that stretch. If they can feast on these bad teams, then we could be talking about a team that's 10 games over 500, you know, and it looks much different record-wise. Now, I know the Twins are well ahead. Everyone knows that. But the key for this Indians team, and I think what the front office needs to see, is some consistency. And we haven't seen that all year long. And if they're going to stand pat or if they're going to become buyers, they have to see some consistency here against these teams that are below 500 or even worse than that, but well below 500 in some cases. They play some bad teams over the next couple of weeks. So I think these national reports that are coming out, it's a lot like in the off season when there are these organizations who really want Brad Hand, so they float it out there. You know, if something leaks, there's a reason. I think it's coming from everyone but the Indians right now. Not that they're not going to be willing to trade Brad Hand or Trevor Bauer, et cetera. They're open to that, and they will be at the deadline. But I don't think they're desperate right now. They're going to survey the landscape here in a couple weeks and see how they are.
I agree with you 100%. Well, by the way, we should be using, you know, Joe Morgan always said, you got to use baseball time, right? You got to, and that's a lot of people mistake that. We have to realize you still have 6 weeks left. You can't make a decision based off of anything you're hearing right now, but I agree 100% that I read it the same way you do. Any national person I see, anyone that is talking about this, you know, MLB.com, whether it is, you know, John Morosi or Rosenthal, whoever, I just think that can't be coming from the Indians. In particular, Morosi's reports, and I like what he does, I really do, but he was sly about it. He brought up Hand and Santana and Bauer the way we all did, and then he just kind of threw in back his own little take on Francisco Lindor, and it was like, well, why bring that into the mix? That wasn't from an executive that you even talked to. That was just you speculating that Lindor should be involved one way or the other, when in reality, it couldn't be further from what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, and I don't think Lindor is even on the table right now.
No, it shouldn't be. I blew my mind when I read that.
Bauer and Hand, to a degree, Hand, and some of these guys, yeah, are, but I would think it'd be really hard from a strict PR standpoint to sell that area of the Indians organization on, oh, yeah, we're trading Francisco Lindor, regardless of the haul, regardless of what it would mean long-term for the organization. I don't think that that's being considered at this moment. Now, could that change? Absolutely. Could it change this winter? Absolutely. But I don't think that's really on the table at the moment.
We're joined by your Indians beat reporter, James Rapine, here at 92.3 The Fan. Before we get to some of the other little things around the team, I want to do just let's do a fast whether you think the probability of the players that I name can actually happen, okay? So I'll start off with one guy, and then we'll work our way through. I have several names for you that I've been thinking about for a while, and then you just give me like a – we'll do a pizza rating, Dave Portnoy style, where you go 1 through 10, no whole numbers, and you give me a rating, okay?
Okay.
All right. Trey Mancini.
On whether or not they can – wait, hold on. Let's make sure.
On, the,
on whether
on the
or not
fit.
They're going to – go ahead.
Yeah, on like the likelihood you see the Indians actually going out and acquiring this player. And it could be
gotcha.
It could be very low and very few between all of them, because if you don't believe they're going to be any sort of buyer, I understand
gotcha.
That.
I just want to make sure they're on the same page. I'll go 4.1.
4.1.
I think that's probably high, but
he's a dark horse name that I like to I'm getting it out there. I want to get that
sure.
name out there in particular, because it's you know, he has some controllable years. You know, Orioles are willing to deal. It can
no
make
doubt.
Some sense. You know what I mean? All right, here's a guy.
He had some damage against the Indians earlier this year.
Sure
no
did.
Doubt about it.
Sure did. Scooter Gennett.
Ooh. 3.1.
Ooh. Anthony Rendon.
4.2.
Nick Castellanos.
they're all going to be under 5, I'll tell you.
Oh,
3.4.
Oh,
no,
man.
Wait, because... Right now, JP, I don't think they're buyers. That could change again over this stretch. I think a lot can change. But right now, I just don't think they're buyers. Plus, I look at it very logically, which is kind of boring for exactly what you're trying to do. It's hard to get a trade done. It's really hard. So they could have interest in Trey Mancini or anybody else, and it's still, if it doesn't line up, it doesn't line up. So I don't think it's likely, but we could keep going. Let's go.
No, that was it. And you proved my point, essentially, because I don't think they're going to be buyers either. And I'm trying to come up with names, and I'm trying to come up with ideas. This team needs to be better, James. This is not a very good team, and if they want to go for a wild card, they can't have that approach. And I know you say it's logic, but they can't have the approach of standing pat with this roster. I just don't see it.
Well, one guy that I thought that they should certainly have interest in, because I thought Seattle was going to pay a lot of his salary, and we saw it yesterday, is Edwin Encarnacion. I think reuniting with him, heck, I mentioned it to you earlier this year. I thought that there was a chance of that. Obviously, that doesn't happen. And but yeah, he would look good right now.
All right, so what's the difference
Bradley.
Between Edwin and then some of the other guys I named? Is it just the familiarity that you liked, or what was it?
Well, I mean, to a degree. I mean, I think the Indians like familiarity. We saw it with the Santana trade bringing him back.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, it's... I'm not saying that they won't make a move, because I do think that they could end up becoming buyers, and I know that's laughable to those listening in their car on a Sunday morning.
Oh, it shouldn't be. They need to get better, James.
Well, I think if they can feast on bet, because you're never really a buyer if you're 10 games, 11 games out of five, or 11 games out of the division lead, and you're around 500. But if you're 10 games over 500, who cares if the Twins are good? You know, fine. The Twins are on pace to win 110 games. That's fine. We're going to win the wild card. And then we'll find a way to go play the Twins in the playoffs, and we'll try to beat them. So I think there is a scenario where even if the Twins stay double-digit games up in the Central, the Indians feel like they can not only win the wild card but make a run. But you're right. For this team to do that, they're going to have to be buyers. And for them to be buyers, they have to be consistently good for the next couple of weeks, and we haven't seen that yet. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But it's really contingent. I know it's a long season. But I think the trade deadline and where they go is really contingent over the next 3 weeks or so before the All-Star break.
I agree with you. I think so many people want to make big, broad declarations about what this team is or where they should be or what they should be doing. Ultimately, the next several weeks will tell us the whole story, right, in what direction they have to go or what direction they probably should go. But they're playing a lot better ball as of late, and they've looked a lot better, and I feel like things are at least trending in the right direction, James.
Yeah, and that's... There's the hope. I mean, you get Mike Clevinger back, obviously, and we'll see him tomorrow. And you're starting to get healthy. And I think eventually, over the next couple of weeks, we'll get the lights at the end of the tunnel for Corey Kluber. And they can figure it out and potentially have a rotation. Obviously, Carlos Carrasco is a big question mark. But have a rotation that is close to what we envisioned at the beginning of the year. And that, to me, is the key. Because they're not going to suddenly turn the corner and be a great hitting team. But if they can suddenly become a great pitching team, and the bullpen has certainly done its part and exceeded expectations more so than any other position group on the team, then they have a shot. So they got to feast on this bad schedule. They need to get healthy. And then we could be talking about the Indians being buyers. You know, it could go either way right now. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
We're joined by our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. All right, James, I've been throwing a lot of curveballs your direction today, and I apologize for that because I want to keep it straighter and I want to make sure that, you know, it's early on a Sunday morning. Nobody needs to be complicating the Indians, obviously. But I'm going to throw this one your way, and I don't know if you'll see this coming or not. But I have an All-Star nomination that I've been thinking about for a little bit, and I want to know whether or not you think it's crazy, okay?
Can I guess it? No, I won't ruin it. I know who it is, though. Go ahead.
You know who it is?
I would bet. Yeah, I do.
All right, play spoiler alert. I want you to be right here. Okay, go ahead.
Roberto Perez.
Nailed it. This guy. What a pro. This guy. I mean, come on. Do you own real estate up in my brain? How did you know that?
You used the word dark horse earlier in the interview. I certainly think he's a dark horse candidate. The way he's hitting the ball has been stellar over the past couple of weeks. And not only that, he's one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. So when you do those two things and combine those two things together, I certainly think an argument can be made. Now, will it happen? I certainly wouldn't bet a bunch of money on it, but I would love to see it because I think he's hardworking. I think he's a blue-collar type of catcher. And the pitchers love him, and I think it would be a perfect representation.
Hold on, James. What does a white-collar catcher look like?
One that hits a bunch of home runs but can't block the ball.
So Mike Piazza is a white-collar catcher.
There you go. Yeah, this guy, yeah, he brings his lunch pail every day.
Let's use
a bunch of football analogies.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you see eye to eye with that. Here's a problem in this whole discussion, though, is that I can probably name five or six other American League catchers that are very similar to Roberto Perez right now, and it's going to be a toss-up. Like, who performs the best until the balloting rolls in? Out of the Christian Vasquez's, Gary Sanchez's, James McCann's, Jason Castro's of the American League.
Yeah, and that's the key. If he can just have a hot stretch and continue this for the next couple of weeks, which lines up with the Indians needing him to stay in the hunt here, it'll be huge. And it could. And the thing is, it's not like he's going to be an all-star every year, and I don't think anyone expects that. But we've seen outlier all-stars where they're a one-time all-star and they just happen to have a really good start to the year at the plate or a really just hot start to the year. So we'll see if Roberto Perez can do it because he got off to a rough start this season at the plate and he certainly settled in. And if he continues it, I think he's got a shot, JP. And it would be cool to see if so.
Last one, James. What do you expect out of Trevor Bauer this afternoon?
I expect a lot of what we saw in his last outing, which overall was better from a production standpoint. He liked that outing prior to that even more. If you look at his last four starts, I think they look better than they have been in the past over that month stretch where it was a struggle. It's the second straight time now where they're going for a sweep and he's on the mound. So they need him to perform well. And the key in something that we've seen all year long really with Trevor, I think he issued five or six walks in his last outing. You give the other team five or six base runners, even if you allow four or five hits, suddenly those turn into runs. So we'll see if he can control the ball today and have good command. And if so, I think we'll see a good performance from Bauer.
Check out James' latest at 92.3thefan.com. James, great stuff as always. Appreciate you waking up early on a Sunday and hanging out, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow. You'll be with me in the slot for Chico.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. All right, JP, have a good day, man.
All right, catch you later, man. James Rapine right there. Brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone.